Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. I'm taping this week far in advance during the Toronto ice storm when the power's still off, the sidewalk's still icy, and Rob Ford is still mayor. Don't know what the future will bring, but who knows what it'll be like when you listen to this. Back to the Future? Fittingly, I'm looking at a couple of oddball fantasy movies, pointless but watchable froth to bring in the new year. One's an American remake about a daydreaming adult. The other's an Italian but English language horror movie re-release about a brat with secret powers. The Visitor from 1979, directed by Giulio Paradisi and presented by Drafthouse Films and Fangoria. Barbara Collins, played by Joanne Nail, is a modern woman who values her freedom. She lives in a mansion in Atlanta with her sweet little daughter, Katie, played by Paige Connor, and Katie's pet bird. She's being wooed by Raymond, played by Lance Henriksen, a slick but secretive basketball promoter. But what she doesn't realize is that Raymond reports to a cabal of identically dressed businessmen who are up to no good, and sit at this perpetual board meeting table. You see, Barbara doesn't know it, but she has special DNA, and her daughter Katie has supernatural powers. So if these bad guys can pull off an alien abduction and pregnancy, Barbara will reproduce another super baby, as if one kid isn't enough. Katie is actually a demon seed, a foul-mouthed brat. She uses her powers for selfish reasons, like putting the kibosh on other kids she goes skating with or does gymnastics. On her birthday, Katie's gift turns into a handgun, which goes off and shoots Barbara, her mom, rendering her paraplegic. And when a detective, played by Glenn Ford, investigates her birthday shooting, Katie sends her pet bird to attack him and peck at his eyes. Meanwhile, a wise old man with a white beard and a beige leisure suit, played by John Huston, is tracking Katie too. He travels with a retinue of kids dressed in white, and the silent, bald-headed teenagers are actually his disciples from another dimension. You can tell that he's important because whenever he appears, the theme music starts up again as he walks down some futuristic-looking escalator or runway. So who will triumph in the end? The satanic businessman aliens or the benevolent, robe-wearing, long-haired Superman-like aliens? And will anyone ever stop spoiling that evil kid? So this movie exists in its own bizarro world, circa 1979. Shelley Winters plays Barbara's intuitive housemaid who keeps singing Mama's Little Baby Love, shortening, as she spies on Katie. Sam Peckinpah, who's the director of the infamously violent westerns and movies like Straw Dogs and Wild Bunch, plays her gynecologist. And John Huston is another incredibly famous American director. So this is a totally trippy, very strange, weird movie. It has lots of horribly dated and vaguely racist shtick going on. And the story makes no sense. No sense whatsoever, but still feels cool to watch this thing. House of mirrors, swarms of birds, Barbara, the mother, insanely driving her electric wheelchair around in endless circles. It climaxes with bug-eyed John Huston having his close encounters moment. This isn't a spoiler. With shooting stars. Totally kitsch, but unintentionally quite funny and unbelievably psychedelic. The Secret Life of Walter Mitty, directed by Ben Stiller. Walter, played by Ben Stiller, is a milquetoast mama's boy and a longtime employee of Life magazine. He lives vicariously through the exciting photos he processes in a windowless basement room. He's in charge of negative assets. That means photo negatives. Instead of a pocket protector, he wears a bad windbreaker all the time. So in his frequent daydreams and fantasies, he sees himself as an international adventurer, a real man who will stand up to any bully. But in reality, he's lonely, middle-aged, and single. He longs for a relationship with a new employee, Cheryl, played by Kristen Wiig, but he can't seem to connect with her, even on an online dating site. So now he faces a crisis. Life magazine is folding except for an online edition. And they brought in a douchey young executive, played by Adam Scott, who has to close down the magazine, and he makes Walter the poster boy for unneeded employees. But when a negative, the cover photo of the final issue they're going to be printing, goes missing, Walter, who's never lost a photo, takes it upon himself to track the negative down, wherever it may be. So he embarks on a journey by plane, helicopter, boat, skateboard, takes him all around the world, up mountains, across shark-filled seas, past erupting volcanoes, all just to find the missing photo. Will he find the picture? And will he find himself? And will his journey impress his crush, Cheryl? Well, the movie is filled with breathtaking scenery. It has little else to recommend it. It's not that funny, interesting, or original. The James Thurber story is more whimsical, and the Danny Kaye musical from 1947 is more clever. Ben Stiller's first attempt at directing, he fails to direct himself. He underplays it all just when he should be hamming it up. His character comes across as flat, dull, and pointless. Shirley MacLaine and Catherine Hahn are fun as his mother and sister, but you rarely see them. Movie feels like it's either aimed at 12-year-olds or middle-aged men who wish they were 12 years old again. And the use of egregious product placement within the plot itself, a certain pizza chain, a cinnamon bun, in the script, it's as embarrassing as it is flagrant. Was he that desperate for funding? It's not that The Secret Life of Walter Mitty is terrible. It's totally watchable, especially stunning footage of Icelandic moonscapes. It's just that it's disappointing. Secret Life of Walter Mitty opens on Christmas Day, and The Visitor opens on December 30th for a three-day run at the TIFF Bell Lightbox. Check your local listings. This is Daniel Garber of the Movies, each Friday morning on CIUT 89.5 FM and on my website, culturalmining.com.